Hello and welcome to Insights, the CAE podcast. Hello, welcome to this week's recording. I hope everybody's well and safe in these strange times. This week's a conversation with Adam Jewett, one of the directors within the unstructured data storage team in Dell Technologies. Some fascinating insights from Adam in terms of the technology and its use cases. A slight apology that obviously during lockdown we were recording via our mobile phones, so a little bit of interruption and background noise in places. But in advance, I hope you enjoy the conversation and the insights from Adam, and thank you for listening. Hey Adam, thanks for joining us on the call. If you're happy to introduce yourself, that'd be brilliant.
I'm Adam Jewett, I work for Dell Technologies, and I'm the sales leader, UK sales leader for our Unstructured Data Solutions division. Okay, so from a technology perspective, that includes technologies such as Isilon, ECS, Data IQ, and Superna. But I guess probably the crux of this discussion is probably more what we do with it. And so that's my role as a sales leader in Dell.
Fantastic. Thanks, Adam. So obviously, you know, you and I have met lots of times and had lots of conversation. And one of the things we both often talk around is some of the sort of fantastic projects that Isilon is involved in and actually how much they benefit sort of the community around us. Thought it'd be great to share some examples maybe of different sorts of projects Isilon's used within and again, some of the benefits those projects are bringing.
Yeah, no, very, very timely question too, James. So, look, I guess so I've been in this organisation for about the last 6 years, and I mean, I came in and I was asked to set up a police business, and I kind of thought at the time there wasn't the requirement in police, but actually probably one of the key areas that we've worked in, we've got police, healthcare, video surveillance, and those are some of the key areas I've worked in. And actually, sort of alluded to, whilst our discussions we end up ultimately selling technology, well, the most important thing for us is actually to get under the skin of what people are looking to do. So from a police perspective, we do an awful lot with digital forensics, so helping helping police sort of, curate and deliver evidence to the Crown Prosecution Service. We talk to hospitals around hospitals have a lot of large repositories for clinical data, genomics analysis, digital pathology. So a lot of these wonderful things in terms of digitising evidence, digitising healthcare, digitising the likes of pathology. So it's kind of, we're moving into the future of how people do stuff, and most of these areas are actually dependent on a very large data set of unstructured data. So I think historically people struggle to work out how to harness that data. So what we do in our brand from an Isilon and ECS perspective, we're really looking at business outcomes. So I've mentioned two in terms of police and healthcare, but these kind of sit across all verticals. At FinTech, we've got some fantastic FinTech customers as well, where Quants is sort of gathering as much information, publicly available information about companies, and actually making a lot of informed decisions. So actually what we do, we kind of talk about the IP of companies, the data of companies, and how they can get meaningful insights. So whether that's kind of keeping the streets safe and putting criminals away through forensic examinations, whether that's helping hospitals be able to get a single view of the patient and get a better clinical outcome, or whether that might be video surveillance at large airports, helping companies with quant analysis, etc. So we kind of fit across a lot of industries. I guess the good news for us, we're probably in the right place. So about 80% of data is unstructured. And a lot of companies just struggle to work out how to harness it. So that's kind of the game we're in. And that, I guess, in a nutshell, is what makes it really, really fantastic for us to work in. And whilst it's not new, but something we've been working with you guys at CAE in significantly recently, I mean, probably some of the most exciting projects are the brands that you guys are working in digital preservation as well. I'm sure you'll go on to it. But actually, it's a bit of a... I'm quite excited by some of the organisations you're working with around digital preservation. And actually, from a data durability, these large data repositories absolutely need a certainty that their data will be around over a number of years. Look, that's a really, really good fit for us. And again, another use case where we absolutely thrive in. So again, the projects are fantastic. We're not talking about technology. Technology is the enabler. It's great stories and conversations we just love to be part of.
No, absolutely agree. And I'd say, I think working in maybe our nation's heritage, and I'd say the longevity of that data and how it can be utilised is just fantastic. One of the things we're often queried around is Isilon and its sort of roadmap. And often, you know, our common feedback is obviously we're on the sort of sixth generation of a product that continues to have a roadmap into the future. Is that one of the things that sort of continues to motivate within Dell, that core product is a sort of staple of what you're doing?
It's an interesting objection, actually. We went through a wave over about the last 18 months of people saying, well, Iceland, it's a bit long on the tooth, it's been around for a number of years. But actually what it was originally designed for was the media industry, where the content in the media industry was growing at an alarming rate. So you were getting organizations who were just buying storage time after time after time. So actually what was done many years ago is still extremely relevant now. So where the media industry was exploding their large file content and video content, there was an explosion of data. That's what's happening across every industry now. So I guess from the ground up, we were designed absolutely for what's going on in the market now. In response to, are we a bit long in the tooth? Is it where the longevity in the product? It might not have been exactly your question, but that's the question we do get asked from time to time. Look, there's a fantastically strong roadmap. We've got some big announcements that we can't talk about today, but a big announcement's coming out for the start of June, which actually, we have a fantastically strong roadmap. We've invested in additional companies recently to help us augment that roadmap. And I think, if anything, we're about 20% of the Dell Technology storage business, and that percentage is growing. So I would see Iceland to be around for at least another 10 years. We've got a very strong roadmap. Our engineering team is getting bigger and stronger. So look, we're here to stay, I'm afraid. And we've got a market leadership position. And I think, if anything, the announcements we're about to make will augment that.
No, fantastic. I mean, without asking for any insight into the announcements, because I appreciate they're to follow, do you see any more parts of the portfolio being added? Because traditionally UDS is ECS when it comes to sort of the archive set layer, and then obviously Isilon is more of the active storage. Do you think that will it going to keep to two sort of core products, or do you think maybe there'd be more within sort of expansion within the direct portfolio?
So I think we probably talk a bit more about an architecture now rather than core products. So Iceland and ECS are products per se, but actually there's a big ecosystem that we're building up around them. So, I mean, we probably have slightly smaller announcements, but actually we've had things like streaming data platform, which is an announcement we made earlier in the year, which is actually around streaming data. And so if you get something in a manufacturing plant that you need some real-time decisions on, but then you can replay that information and make some decisions in terms of batch processing. We've announced products such as streaming data platform, which will augment what we do in Iceland and ECS. We bought a company called Data Frameworks in the last 18 months, and actually that's now become a core part of our product. So whereas we had some good insight in terms of the use of Iceland and the data on there, we've now sort of rebranded it as Data IQ. So Insight IQ and Data IQ together is going to be extremely powerful in helping people do a real discovery of what data they've got, who are the biggest users, where should the data be placed, etc. And you can make some real stronger management decisions and provide some analytics on your data around that. But also we've announced Dell Technologies Cloud. So again, whilst we've talked about Iceland being able to archive out into cloud platforms or into our own object store, being ECS, we have our own Dell Technologies Cloud as well. So we deliver Iceland in the cloud, we deliver Iceland in public cloud, and we kind of have this ecosystem. So we have a really, really strong multi-cloud story. And that is not necessarily a cloud for cloud's sake. We actually brand it data first. So rather than talking about cloud for the sake of it, we're just talking about getting the right unstructured data in the right place at the right time, so it's always available when you need it. So there's an awful lot been going on in terms of development announcements probably over the last 12 months. So a lot of them might not have made the headlines. In terms of what's coming up, we do have some new node types and we do have some new architectural announcements coming, and those will continue over the year. But I think in terms of a big bang, like maybe we used to do every couple of years, you will see some big bang, but you also see a lot of stuff continually coming out for the brand. So look, the future is very strong. I don't think we're announcing any additional products as such, but we're just augmenting what we've already got.
And from my experience, I think that's a perfect place, because it's such a strong core set of products anyway. It's just the longevity that's important. And I guess, you know, we're all sort of experienced, certainly through marketing, sort of the data explosion. Do you see any slowdown in the sort of creation of data?
No, not really. I mean, clearly we're going through difficult times at the moment, so some organisations are struggling somewhat, but equally, I mean, COVID-19 is a fantastic example of again, there's another data set that's coming and people need to harness this data and get some outcomes. Everybody's still writing their content, and look, it might be different workloads we're working on. It might be that some organizations are struggling, but we don't see any stop in the acceleration of this explosion of data. And again, we're also seeing a lot of people sending this kind of data out to cloud, but it's actually not a great fit for cloud, and they're starting to repatriate that into other models as well. So I think rather than seeing a slowdown or a change in the amount of data out there, I think that's still accelerating at the same growth. I think more and more people are starting to get a grasp of actually there's not one size fits all, and it might not be great data to send to the cloud, or you might be a bit more intelligent in terms of how you manage it. So, and I think with that, a lot more people are, again, they're trying to work out how they bring analytics, machine learning into this data set as well to get better outcomes from it. So look, this is definitely a part of the market which is still relatively immature, but it's a key part of the market, and it's really the IP of a significant number of organizations.
Absolutely. And you mentioned cloud there, because you can't get away from a conversation where I mentioned the word cloud. I guess our experience has been, a year or two ago, a lot of customers moved towards cloud as being their sort of direction of travel for their data. We're seeing more sort of that sort of hybrid model now, where people have more sort of archive related data out in the cloud, things they might actually utilize back on site again. Is that sort of the model trend you're seeing yourself?
We're seeing a lot of trends, and we still see a lot of people just, right, CIO or CEO said we're moving cloud first, so we'll just pick everything up and move it to the cloud. We're seeing a lot of people, having done that, realize that's an expensive way of doing it. So I think we're getting a lot more of a rounded discussion. There is a lot of cloud momentum, but I think people are now trying to do it on their own terms and thinking a lot more around what are the drivers and what are they trying to retrieve by going to cloud. One of our global CTOs has a good example of actually how do you make business decisions around cloud. If it's just for a cost saving perspective, he used to have a model where if you had a server and that server was was more than 50% utilized, then he would buy that and keep it on-prem because that was a cheaper way of doing it. If it was less than 50% utilized, he would put that in the cloud. And from this, he made an awful lot of saving on his compute environment of moving a lot of his CPU into the cloud. And then the company decided, right, okay, what we'll do, we'll move all of the persistent data into the cloud. And whilst on the face of it, that was great, it was all closely coupled. The problem he had was that the cost of the increase in the cost of persistent data more than wiped out all of the savings he made on the compute and the applications. So again, it very much depends on people's drivers. So the data first story we've got, look, we can help people, and we can host OneFS, so Isilon software, in the cloud. We can do that in public cloud itself. But also we've got very closely coupled systems. So a lot of people are looking to put a data set in Dell Technologies Cloud, which sits within sub-millisecond or a couple of milliseconds latency from the hypervisors. So let's take an example of maybe you want to close a second data center, put your second copy of data in our Dell Technologies Cloud solution. A lot of people are now going, right, I've got DR as a service there. We can do a single click failover, but actually I don't need to pay for the compute. I can just spin up AWS, Azure, Google Cloud, whatever's cheapest on the day and vent a disaster. Or I've got an agreement with Microsoft, for example, and I might use those one day, but actually I might have an agreement with someone else another day. Or we might like the analytics options in one cloud and next week another cloud. So what we're trying to do is give people a true multi-cloud experience, that the data sits in a cloud next to the hypervisor, and they can use whatever applications they want. Okay, so we will do private cloud, we support hybrid cloud, we support public cloud. And what we try and do is give you the choice and help you make an informed decision as to what the right option is.
Perfect. So I guess the answer is that there is no one answer. It's just that it's a flexible approach to meet the customer's needs at all times.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if I could add to that. I mean, I mentioned Data IQ earlier. I mean, Data IQ is sort of discover, move, manage. It's kind of the mantra of what it does. But actually, if you do a discovery on the data at a file level, and you discover how much of it is live and active, how much of it hasn't been used for a certain amount of time, you can also plug into the tool, right, what is the cost of managing a gigabyte per month for AWS, Azure, putting it into Technologies Cloud, or even having it on-prem. So you can do a really quick, once you use that tool, you can do a really quick total cost of ownership and kind of make some pretty much real-time decisions, and then we'll help you with Data IQ or Cloud Pools in Isilon to be the data mover and get the data to the right place at the right time.
Fantastic. And again, you mentioned management. I guess it's another sort of advantage is one pane of glass approach across the UDS suite.
Yeah, so there's probably, and we can probably broaden out from that a little bit. So we've got, as Dell Technologies, we have Cloud IQ, which is our single pane of glass for a sort of systems management for all of our storage offerings are moving towards being supported by Cloud IQ. So with an app or browser, you can look at your full Dell Technologies storage estate. From an Isilon perspective and an ECS perspective, look, it depends how you're approaching it, but if you're actually looking at the data, then absolutely Data IQ will give you that view from anything that's on Isilon from a file perspective, anything that's sat on ECS and object perspective, but also it can be, we can do a discovery, we can manage data that's sat on third parties. It could be a net app, it could be sat in public cloud, it could be any third party, as long as it's file and object and we have permission to see the data, we can do that discovery and then exactly help you manage, do something with that data, which is of most value to you.
Fantastic. And I guess just moving away from the product slightly, but in terms of the trends in front of us or the things you see coming just in the general marketplace, what's sort of most interesting you at the moment?
Well, that's a very open question. So
I was going to write it down and learn from you, that's all.
Yeah. What are the most interesting trends? I mean, I think we're working across, and my responsibilities are sort of augmented recently, and so we're working across a significant number of verticals. I mean, the thing that probably where my heart is actually what we can do for the public good, and that is very much around life sciences, healthcare, and police, because there's a real public good around what we can do there. Yeah. And I think over time, the more we do around artificial intelligence and maybe diagnosis of diseases or better and quicker outcomes and sort of more proactive, I guess, cancer treatment and COVID analysis and that kind of stuff, I think those things are always going to be exciting because I think that touches all of us. And I think with that, as we move towards solutions that are easier to manage and adopt, I mean, clearly artificial intelligence is probably the one thing which we're all probably very uncertain about, but we can do an awful lot of that now. So I think that excites us. I think we need to do that with control. But probably, yeah, my heart's probably been the public good side of things. What I'm most interested to see is how all organisations can use artificial intelligence, whether it be for call centres, autonomous driving, that kind of stuff. Again, I mean, military side of things, I think, is a fantastic example of, look, how can we use this data, harness this data, actually cleanse the data, so we're only looking at the data that we want to make informed interest from, informed decisions from. And I think this is one of the areas, again, with our streaming data platform, we'll be able to make real-time decisions and we'll also be able to make batch-time decisions so we can improve process. So, look, I probably haven't given you an answer, I think, but I think we're really in this wonderful inflection point where we want to see and support and help. I guess the Dell mission statement is to help deliver human progress and support human progress. So, and that's exactly where Iceland's at the forefront of. I mean, the other thing which is I shouldn't overlook at the moment as well is cybersecurity. Look, everybody's having a massive cybersecurity concerns at the moment. There's a lot of budgets in cybersecurity. I don't mention budgets because I'm in a sales perspective, but everybody has a cybersecurity concern, particularly enhanced by the home working that everyone's doing at the moment.
Yep.
And what I should say, one of the things we focus on strongly in our unstructured data business is cybersecurity. So we have ransomware protection, we have auditing protection, we have snapshots, replicate. We have a whole suite of technologies and also air-gapped backups where we can help people with cyber recovery. So when people talk cyber recovery predominantly, people are looking at cyber recovery from their traditional applications, so it might be a database. But actually, cyber attacks very often end up in the unstructured data. Okay, so I think we're unique in our ability to, within our technology set, we can actually protect from those, help people recover. And as long as you've got the right tool set, sort of accompanying tool set, hopefully you never have to pay a ransom to anyone for any malware attacks.
No, fantastic. And I think I'd echo your feedback in terms of the sort of the public good of some of these projects, because I think that's what's continued to motivate a lot of the work we do as well, actually. It's just the most interesting ones are the ones that most touch people and most relate, well, we can most relate to. And that's what's made the technology quite unique for us in this last few years of projects. I'm really aware, Adam, I've sort of caught you on the cuff today. I'm really grateful if you sort of cutting out 20 minutes to sort of have a chat. I need to free your time back up again. But thank you ever so much for the call. It's much appreciated.
No, I appreciate it. So it's always good to chat. Look, I love talking about the use cases because they're all fascinating. And it never gets boring working in our brand. So thank you very much for your time and to your support at CAE.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, guys.